Hey everybody, this is Mindquake with TNT. This will be episode two. Today's podcast, we're going to talk about ghosts. As we talked about before, content we discuss on here is just stuff that generally interests us. Questions that a lot of people tend to avoid just because it hurts their brain too much. And just weird stuff that a lot of people just don't go too deep into.
And that we like.
Yeah. So ghosts, pretty big topic. Been around for hundreds of years, reported for hundreds of years. Are they real?
I'm not too sure about that. So when someone's dead, they're dead. There's no coming back from that. But that's just me talking in the physical sense. When someone's dead, you cannot see them anymore unless they're in that casket or however way they choose to die. But talking in a consciousness, spiritual kind of way, then there is a possibility that something we don't know about could still be out there after post-mortem.
And it's true. And then you have to bring in the subject of the metaphysical world, the world that we can't see but that exists. Things like consciousness, how we talked about. We haven't actually done a podcast on, but the concept of consciousness, the human soul, then religion factors into it. It's a pretty huge topic to touch on. So if we were to start anywhere, because it's such a big topic, how would ghosts exist? If there is such a thing as ghosts, how do they exist? Concepts. How do you see this apparition floating down the stairs? Why is it there? What's its purpose? What do you think?
Could be in someone's mind, if someone that they know, at least family member, relative, friend that's passed away,
Yeah.
could be just kind of their subconscious telling them, that they miss them and they kind of want to see them again, and that's when they appear. Doesn't necessarily real, or could be appear to anyone else, but to that person's mind, when they see something, for them it could be reality. For someone else, they might not see the same thing.
So what you're saying is we perceive our own reality. We create our own reality. If we
Everyone
want to
has their
see
own reality.
a loved one bad enough, the back of our head subconsciously or consciously, our mind is able to create this apparition, this image that's not actually there.
There's a possibility, yeah, that's what I believe in.
I mean, to me, the idea of ghosts is, I mean, I've talked about it before in our first podcast about alien theories. The fact that they've done research that certain low frequency waves can actually cause hallucinations in humans, and they've actually done research on that where people in a lab setting, I mean, I don't have the results here, the paper, but I have read the results that people experiencing low frequency waves direct at them have seen and had hallucinations, whether it be ghosts or some sort of creatures. So geographically, could that affect seeing ghosts? I mean, the house that you're moving into, you already have the backstory, it's old and it's in a weird neighborhood, and the fact that just where that house lies geographically, there's some sort of magnetic field that's under there, or some sort of low resonance hum from a factory nearby that causes you to hallucinate.
Yeah, but if it's coming, let's say, like you said, from a factory, that means other people around that area should experience the same thing. Or is it
Yeah.
just that different frequencies all depend on what kind of person? Like, do each person has a specific frequency to cause hallucinations, or is it just the same one for
Yeah.
everyone?
And maybe they haven't touched enough on this frequency research, right? I mean, people tend to use recreational drugs to have, these vivid hallucinations or inspirations. Well, why couldn't you just use some sort of low frequency pitch you download on iTunes to experience these things, right? I mean, there's not enough research, I think, done into how that affects the human bodies. I know the US military has an actual sound emitting device they point at people that cause them to feel like their skin's on fire. So there's a lot more research we can do as a society on low frequency waves and magnets and things like that that would affect the human body. Not saying like things like the Q bracelet or whatever are actually real,
Yeah.
or those stupid hologram bracelets, but maybe there is something we don't know. But I mean, if we were to say that ghosts are real, let's just go with that. Me personally, I think that it would sit in the realm of consciousness. Everybody has consciousness. What is consciousness? It's your idea of self. It's your self-identification. It's your moral. It's your ethics. It's things that can't be studied with like an MRI per se. Like, why is everyone's
It's your
different?
experiences, the
Yeah.
individual's experiences. That's what consciousness is.
Maybe consciousness is all around us, and when someone dies, they're still able to exist, but in a different form, right?
Not technically physical, but it could be in your mind.
Yeah. Or maybe they are, it is real. Like, someone's able to project themselves with consciousness as an apparition or a whispery voice or a creaky door because something they left behind in this world is unfinished, right? A lot of times you hear these ghost stories that people tell or these TV shows. That's often under tragic circumstances that people die, and oftentimes after they've gone in and researched what it is through EVP or some spirit box, they find out what the person's purpose was there, and they tell them that's okay, your job here's done, or they help them find something in the house that they left behind, and once that's done, it tends to seem that their activity ceases. So maybe the person's consciousness is coming back to finish some sort of unfinished business they
Some sort
have,
of goal, yeah.
and then they would essentially vanish into the consciousness universe, which is all around us. But I mean, the thing with ghosts is, I mean, when you look at aliens, there's not a lot of eyewitness stuff. There's UFO videos and things like that, but it seems like there's a lot more evidence for ghosts. Now that camera technology is getting better, there's a lot
And
less.
infrared and all the technology that they use.
Yeah, there's a lot less factors that wouldn't be true. Like back in the day, they used to take still photographs. You'd have to stay still for 10 seconds. Well, if a child walks through the frame, they're going to show up as a blurred image. And unfortunately, those people from 150 years ago aren't around to say, hey, yeah, and that picture is a picture of, my kid walking through the picture. We just find them and say, oh, that's a ghost picture, right? So nowadays, we have film that doesn't allow that type of stuff, right? It's easily debunked, and with
Such at a
camera
high
tech.
frame rate, yeah.
Or things like EVP, right? I still know where I sit on EVP. I mean, a lot of it's a stretch when you hear about it. Some of the voices I've heard have come through very clear, although we're not there to actually see it. But some of it's someone's perception, right?
Yeah.
It's like the ink blot test for me, right? What may look like a butterfly to you could look like two guys shaking hands to me, right? Like these EVPs I hear are such a stretch, especially on these TV shows that are reality, right?
Yeah,
So,
of course.
I mean, what's your take on the evidence, like EVP, camera, those spirit boxes that scan radio stations randomly, and the ghost is able to pick words from the radio station he needs to use to describe it, or those talk-to-type machines that they use where they'll sound like a Stephen Hawking voice when the ghost comes up, like.
Yeah. Like a long, I don't know much about EVPs or any of the equipment that they use in those ghost hunter shows. Don't quote me on that. But it just seems like when they're in that house, a haunted house, let's say, and they're all sitting around waiting for something to happen, it's pitch black, it's super quiet, your senses are deprived, like specific senses are more available to pick up noises. If it's pitch black, your eyesight isn't as good, so your hearing is going to go up. So when they hear creaks or big bangs, they immediately compare it to something that's paranormal.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, I'd like to touch on this in the future podcast, when they talk about this quantum mechanics, right? Like quantum mechanics basically for a layman, which is myself, would be like the equivalent of the graph that they always refer to is you put a cat in a box, the researcher wants to see what happens to the cat in the box. In the universe, it splits into two probabilities, the cat lives or dies, and then that's multiplied by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times of the
An infinite
probability.
amount of times, yeah.
And you can't see, the researcher can't actually see what's inside, but you have a bias, whether you believe it or not, of what you would like the experiment to see. So basically, it comes down to you project your own reality. What you want to happen will happen, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's happening in these ghost things, right? Maybe our universe is functioning on our ability to create our own reality. So maybe these people want to see ghosts, they see ghosts,
Yeah.
right? They want to capture ghosts. They're able to affect their camera equipment. But that goes into a whole new realm of the mind and how the universe works that unfortunately we don't have a tangible grasp on.
Yeah, we don't have the technology to actually view it.
I mean, ghosts, I don't, how far do you say ghost history goes back?
Are we talking like photographic or video
Just
or what?
period. Written or written on some stone walls.
I don't even know. Like, To be honest, I have no clue on how far it goes back history-wise, but personally, I think it goes back as soon as our technology started developing. With eyewitness accounts of people way back when, and they're seeing these ghostly apparitions or outlines of people or what look like people at night, it usually occurs. You really don't ever see ghosts in the daytime for some reason, but yeah, I'd say maybe 1,000 years.
Yeah, and you know what? I think now I've thought about it, I think we could push that back another 1,000 years because technically Jesus, in biblical sense, Christianity was the first written, from what
Ghost.
I've seen, is the first written ghost. He rose from the dead, you know, things like that. And so maybe it has to do with a biblical thing. Maybe it's Christianity's concept that created the ghost, right? It's like Moses seeing God. You know, all those things, seeing things that aren't actually here in the physical world. So, I mean, if you go back to Egyptian times, they believe in a whole different subset of how the
Of beliefs,
soul
yeah.
transforms itself. So they really, from my understanding, there's no written concept of ghosts in their culture. It's like
Yeah.
once you die, you go into a different realm,
Yep.
see you later, you're done, right? Whereas
Yep.
in Christianity, the soul leaves the body, it goes to wherever it needs to go, purgatory. Then it goes on to heaven. So it's almost written into their concept that ghosts exist. So if maybe as Christianity became more popular, the ghost theory was just
Yeah, it's Chris.
expedited to everybody,
Yeah,
right?
as Christianity spread, what you're saying is that just that belief of Christianity kind of put it into their subconscious that there may be ghosts, especially like we said with Jesus when he died. Everyone, or all the people who saw him die, know he was dead. They put him in that cave, covered it with a rock, but then however many days later, I think it was 3, they see him rise from the dead, right? You can't really explain that, but we don't really have the proof besides written evidence.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that story just got brought along all these generations, keeps going and going, and then now we believe in ghosts just because of that idea.
Become a part of our reality, so we see what's we want to see what we believe essentially, right? It helps substantiate our beliefs,
Yeah.
seeing ghosts. But I mean, I guess for the believers and the non-skeptics, they say, well, why is there evidence, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why is there evidentiary value? So maybe another concept about ghosts, without speaking of projecting your own reality, which is hard to grasp and is way, way far left, is something that I believed when I was younger that still could be a possibility, is the broken record theory, I call it. So everybody tends to be ghosts or traumatic, die under traumatic events. People die under traumatic events. Those are the most common ghosts that you see,
Yeah.
right? You know, whether it be the Amityville house where the Lutz family moved in, they found out that that guy killed four or five of his family members, and that's why the house is so haunted. Or, you know, an old guy dies and he's beaten up on his kids and wife his whole life, so
He has to
he's a really
suffer.
bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Or a child dies under weird circumstances or really young, that's traumatic. So maybe in those circumstances, there's such a high amount of energy involved in that environment that someone almost leaves an imprint in that environment. And you know, whether it be absorbed into the walls or the floors or the ceiling of that house, that energy is left behind there. And essentially, when you see a lot of these ghost stories, the ghosts are doing the same thing. They're walking down the same hall, going into the same room. I mean,
Just to continue, yeah, the broken record.
minus poltergeists, which are malevolent spirits,
Yeah.
but most of the ghosts do the same stuff. They're not doing crossword puzzles and doing this. They're walking down one hallway, coming back, and people are seeing the same thing. So maybe it's just a broken record of that energy that's been imprinted on that specific house, right? We can't measure it yet, but maybe people leave energy behind, right?
Yeah, when they die, they could leave energy behind. Like when you said that. Most of these ghosts die of tragic deaths or sudden deaths without natural causes, maybe, and actually someone else had something to do with the death, like murder. Yeah, maybe that experience that person had before he died, just that big shot of energy, it just stays around once the person is dead.
Yeah. So Emma, what's your take on ghosts?
Yeah, I think the broken record theory is actually it's a pretty big theory among ghost believers, and the theory is that the energy of the person, whatever, at the time of death is just like left at the place, not
Yeah.
even like the floor or whatever, because if the
Yeah.
house is gone, then it will still follow the
In
same
that
pattern
area,
over and
yeah.
over and over. And that's why people see ghosts like walking through walls and stuff, because if they walked like down a staircase, then they change the layout of the house. They just kind of follow their same pattern, walk through the wall,
Oh
look
yeah,
around,
that
whatever.
makes a lot of sense actually, because
Yeah.
yeah, what if the house is brand new? The old house, whichever happened, the murder of that specific person, yeah, house changes, but that specific ghost memory of when they died, what area they were living in, it's still following that path.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, they're walking through walls, but in their lifetime, they could just be walking through their environment, their own house, right?
Yeah. I mean, and there's also Native American land, which is sacred, right? I mean, we're not talking about Poltergeist the movie,
Yeah.
but there has been stories about people that have had houses that are built really close to Native American land that's historical,
Buried
and
or
people
yeah,
are dead
ritual
have
sites or
died there, or some sort of Native American ritual where they used to have, you know, their ceremonies and things like that, and they find that the house is haunted, but it's the first house that was built there. Nobody died in there. There's no suspicious deaths. They research it back and they find the land itself is charged with energy. And so maybe that, like how Emma pointed out, maybe that is a theory, right? The energy stays regardless of the house, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for the people out there that, you know, have ghosts in their house, whether it's projected reality or
Or it
energy.
could just be your house is friggin' old and it's just creaking, right? That's
Yeah.
normal.
I mean, how would you combat that for the people that are maybe listening to this that have ghosts that are an issue in their house? Like, how, what would be the solution to combat ghosts? Is it, do you bring religion into this? I mean, what happens if you're a non-religious person? Does that work for you, right? Because, so what is, what would be the solution to ridding this if they're an issue?
Yeah, I have no clue how to get rid of ghosts, considering I've never seen one in my life. But for people who have experienced these paranormal events, do you help them out? Or you can't really tell how the individual is, especially if they're dead.
Yeah.
You can't ask them questions usually. Well, like you see in those shows, they have that audio recorder and then they do ask them questions, how they die, stuff like that. But you can't. You're not there yourself. The
Yeah.
individual isn't there to tell whether or not that the individual who died is actually bad, a bad person and doesn't want to be talked to, or they're cooperative with other people.
Yeah.
And yeah. What do you think, Emma?
What do you think?
Well, like you brought up religion, but I think that would only work if it was like demonic rather
Mm.
than ghostly,
Okay.
because like ghosts are just people, whereas demons are like
Part of hell or
meh,
whatever, right? Yeah, the
religion,
underworld.
whatever. So demonic energies could be helped with religion, whereas I think ghosts, you just have to kind of, with the unfinished business theory, right? Like go along with that somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you are able to communicate with them, maybe see what they what happened to them. Like I've seen stories and seen TV shows and movies about people that find out that, you know, there's a child spirit in their house. So they do some research, no child ever died in their house. They find out that a child did live in the house and it went missing. And through just digging up that information, some people have brought that information to the cops and they found out that child was actually murdered, or they dig up the old death certificates and show the police in the 21st century, and they say, wow, looking at this nowadays, it looks like this kid was murdered, and they concluded a murder. It's just some sort of end to a means for that ghost just to be validated, knowing that, hey, as long as someone knows that I was murdered and I didn't die, you know, naturally, that to me is enough for me to move on to whatever realm, depending on what spirituality you believe in, whether it be heaven, or you're going to be reincarnated, or you're going into consciousness or the
Are
universe,
you gonna restart your life as
or
a
you're
new
just gonna rot
person,
in the
something?
ground. I don't know,
Yeah,
right?
whatever you believe in, I guess it depends on how the person lived before he died. Does that work or?
Yeah, and I think that would work. I think my personal theory, I mean, I'm not an expert, I've never been under any sort of ghostly influence, but maybe it's the theory of the, I call it the dripping tap theory, right? The dripping tap's gonna piss you off and annoy you the more you focus on that dripping tap. But the more you work towards not focusing on the sound of the actual water dripping and learn to allow it to just become a normal part of your day,
Become used
you
to
don't
it.
give validation to that noise, therefore that noise in essence doesn't exist, right? Maybe that's the thing with ghosts. The more that you
Embrace
look
it.
for it and the more you try to find it,
The
the
more
more
it's
it's
going
going
to
to
cause
bother you,
problems,
and
yeah.
you're almost giving the energy for it to exist. Whereas if you have given no energy for it to exist and you choose not to accept it, then it ceases to exist in your own mind, right? I mean, there have been some successful stories where people have ignored even malevolent ghosts that slam doors and kitchens and break plates, and the ghost essentially, according to them, just got tired of bugging them because it's like the bully theory. There's no one to bully, and you don't get a reaction on the person you're bullying. It's not fun, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a possible theory. Now, speaking about evidence, a lot of people watch these shows and these TV shows and these movies nowadays and try EVP in their own home, whether it's haunted or not. Do you guys think this is a good idea?
Well, what would make it a bad idea? If you don't find any ghosts around before you set up this EVP device or however they use it. Are you ever gonna find anything?
Yeah, well, I don't know. If you think your house isn't haunted and you try the EVP thing and you find out you're living with like a whole bunch of ghosts, wouldn't it re really just be better to have like
Just leave it
ignorance is
alone?
bliss, right?
Yeah,
So just
yeah.
kind of, if you think your house isn't haunted, leave it alone. Just be like, okay, I'm fine with thinking that there's
Yeah,
nothing in my
I'm fine
house.
with living
Yeah.
alone without any weird shit going on.
Without
Yeah.
any unexpected house guests.
Yeah.
And that's true. Maybe it just opens up the door to
Yeah.
allow these things. Maybe they exist around us all the time, whether it be in the consciousness realm or actual physical ghosts. You know, where we live, maybe there is Native Americans that walked through here at some point, died in this land, but we have never gave thought to that. And by opening that door, they go, "Hey, this person's warm and inviting. Cool, I'm gonna step into their house for a bit and do my thing, right?"
Yep.
Whereas most people that don't have an active interest in ghosts,
Don't tend to have ghosts.
yeah, there's no attraction to them, right? There's
Yeah.
no positive magnetic attraction to be part of their life because they never opened that door. But maybe you're opening a door, and I think it's dangerous if you don't have some sort of strong ground or root in some sort of spirituality or religion and knowledge on how to fight this stuff, quote unquote, fight it or get rid of it. Because I mean, I would not even be prepared if I opened the door for stuff to start going wrong in my house. I would just move.
Yeah.
I mean, where there's people who dedicate their lives 20, 30 years to just studying this and know the effects on how to fight. I mean, that movie, what was that movie that just came out about the Warrens, the guys who originally went to the Amityville house and investigated that? It was maybe The Conjuring.
Oh, that one was supposed to be really scary.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but I mean, it was based on real life. That's how they used to live their life. They would battle, you know, demonic or non-demonic presences in people's house as they ever got called, and they had an object room in their house where they would store objects that had an attachment to the spiritual world that caused a lot of people grief,
Yeah.
and be locked in this room and put away because they knew how to handle this dangerous radioactive material, right? That poisoned everyone who touched it. But if it was just me or you, we'd have no idea what to do.
No.
I mean,
Clueless.
my final point on that for EVP, I wouldn't do it unless you know what you're doing. If you're just doing it for fun because you saw it on a TV show and you hear something, chances are you're not going to live in your house for very long. And you're probably going to invite something in there. You know, if ghosts are real, even if they're not real, you're going to invite hallucinations or projections into your world. So,
Yeah, like take away that EVP. Let's switch on to a new subject. Okay,
EVP,
think.
just leave it alone.
Yeah, okay. Let's think about another piece of equipment that you use. It's more of a simple thing. You can even buy it at Toys R Us. It's called the Ouija board.
Oh, man.
And I've actually bought one before a couple of years ago and tried to use it. I didn't really think of ghosts as anything to be scared about. They can't cause me bodily harm. I've never actually witnessed them, so I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I used this Ouija board in one of my friends' house. And at the start, I was trying to do it the way that they say to do it, be calm, put your fingers, but that all depends. A lot of people are skeptic about it because it all depends. Depends. It could be just someone actually pulling it to a specific letter, and your subconscious is actually doing that to make you form an answer. But when I did it, I didn't get anything, so I kind of stepped it up a notch and I started trying to taunt any ghosts that were around, you know, calling them specific names, you
That's
know.
pretty much the worst idea ever.
Yeah, well, you know, I just wanted to get something out of it. I want some evidence, right? So I just started giving her, calling them names, you know, calling them swear words, I guess you could say,
Yeah.
you know, really trying to rile them up, get them going. And I didn't get anything. I didn't even call it a Ouija board, call it an Ouija board. I was just trying to really get some evidence, but I still didn't get anything out of it.
You know, and I think Ouija is such an old school technology. I think it goes back to the day where witches were, you know, existed. Ouija probably
Kinda.
wasn't made when then. I think it's made by Hasbro or Mattel or something like that. One of
Yeah.
those game companies, Parker Brothers. But I think it goes back to that
Yeah.
time in our history where it was mysticism and witches and wizards. What
It's
all it
like
was
voodoo.
outspoken women who ended up getting burnt at the stake because they had an opinion. I don't. Me personally, I'm not a big fan of witches. I don't really think witches exist. Maybe if you talk to someone from the South, like from New Orleans, they talk about shamans and these voodoo women. But witches, I don't think there's people who fly around on brooms. And I think that's all Ouija supports is the ability of that mysticism. And it's a ritual, and you burn candles when you do it. So,
Yeah. I
yeah.
think it's pretty demonic, actually. Thinking about the
Yeah.
Ouija board, I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't mess with that myself, because that's pretty creepy.
I mean, and that's what our society has told us about Ouija boards, is that anybody who summons it, it's never a good ghost who communicates with a Ouija board. It's always the bad ones who do, right? So for it to be a relevant tool to study ghosts, whether real or fiction, yeah, I'm not for it. I think it's a waste of time. I think it's $30 you could spend on something else. You could buy a crappy old recorder and probably try to catch an EVP on that, or you could
Yeah.
buy an old camera that, you know, do it that way. So yeah, I'm not in favor of Ouija. I don't think you're gonna find results. And I think Troy had a good point that I think the subconscious has a huge part to play in it. I think
Yeah.
people, whether or not they know it or not, are gonna influence that board and are gonna push that thing, whether it be, you know, a little millisecond, a little, you know, millimeter at a time. You're gonna unknowingly end up forming an answer, and it really
Yeah.
is gonna come down to you. Unless they study in the lab and they get results, the chances are when it's time to perform for half of this stuff that they do, it never works out.
I think Ouija boards, like, even if you get an answer, I still don't think it's gonna be good and anything you're gonna want to hear about.
Yeah.
'Cause, yeah, like I said, Ouija's pretty voodoo, creepy stuff, so
Yeah,
that's my opinion on
it's a
Ouija
board with
boards.
a little pointer on it. You know, you can't get much simpler than that for an answer. So maybe they've realized, these ghost hunters and these people who seek paranormal activity, they've realized that it's such a simple tool that can be manipulated by different people, whether knowingly or not. And that's why they've switched to these
Yeah.
more advanced technologies, such as EVP, if you said, and infrared cameras and
Yeah.
things that test the temperature in the air as it changes. But yeah.
No,
Yeah.
that's true. And I think it is what you make it, because if you do a Ouija and it points to Tim, you're gonna end up doing research, and Tim is a guy who died at a house four houses down from yours in 1920, and he was a kid, and that's why the Ouija points to that. But how many goddamn Tim names are there out there, right? You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
How many
Yeah,
people
he's
named
like
Tim?
picking a name like Azrakaban, and he's like some weird slaughterer who lived in your backyard like 400 years ago. This was his territory. Okay, I'll give it some credit for that. But yeah,
Yeah.
you know, I think the ghost hunters nowadays realize that they were laughed at for so many years, that they are starting to go more scientific and try to validate their experiences, which, I mean, is good for them, right?
You
They're
gotta
trying to
give them credit,
quantify what
yeah.
happened to them. They're trying to make it an actual legitimate study of what they're doing so people can see. Because we are a very science-based culture. 100 years ago, it was religion. We based things on faith and what we believed in. Nowadays, everything's based on, well, is that scientific? Is there science research on that? I don't
Yeah.
believe that if they haven't done studies on that,
Yeah.
right? So I'll give them credit for that. That they're making an attempt to make it better. But I mean, when it comes down to these TV shows, I mean, you see some incredible stuff on it. It's small, incredible stuff. Like, it's not an actual ghost appearing on camera talking. But they'll see a
Yeah.
mist or light orbs or or they'll get an EVP, so they're not making it so big that you can't believe it. But I
Well,
mean, that's a recorded TV show.
yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, David Blaine
Criss
or
Angel
Criss
or
Angel going on TV.
and levitating from where
Well,
you're,
yeah.
yeah, from where you are, or the supposedly random people they pick out of the audience to do a trick with them. You might not know if that you didn't get the backstory of that person. Have they ever actually talked to Criss Angel? The way they film it is the
Yeah.
way they want you to perceive something.
Yeah, and there's a famous magician who I've seen in real life. It was great, but I knew it wasn't real because I don't believe in magic. He filmed a TV show on a beach, and it was supposed to be this beach shot, and there's nowhere to hide, and he's making stuff disappear on camera. But if you watch it, they cut it. The cut scenes were so terrible that in one shot the sun's in one position, and the shadows of the palm trees are facing this way, and the next shot, which is supposed to be continuous, the shadows are totally cast in the opposite direction. The sun's at a different point in the sky, so you could tell it was over two takes.
Yeah.
It was an actual continuous shot. It's what he wanted you to see. But if
Yeah.
you're not a moron, you're gonna pick up on that. It's like with these TV shows, you're trusting that they're telling you the truth and they're not trying to sell audiences, right?
Yeah.
Which is,
Well.
That's basically the main purpose of television is to make money
Yeah.
and give audiences something to watch to be entertained with. Just to switch conversations here from TV shows because it can't really be known as fact, considering all the different kind of shows out there and reality shows that may seem real just because of the name of it, but they're not actually. But what do you guys think about orbs in pictures? Like those little, when I'm talking about those little dots
Oh man.
that show up in pictures and people think they have some kind of paranormal thing about it.
Like the angel effect, that someone watching over you or someone who has an attraction to ghosts somehow, right?
Yeah, well, like when I was 4, I saw one of those like little
Orbs,
circles in
yeah.
a picture. And I asked one of my uncles what it was, and he was like, "Oh yeah, it's ghosts," because apparently my uncles don't care about terrifying a 4-year-old
Yeah.
child.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've heard about that for like my entire life. And of course, when I was that young, I didn't stop to consider, "Oh, it could be like a dust molecule on the lens of the
Yeah,
camera."
like when you're that young, you're gonna
Yeah.
believe what
Yeah, I was like,
elders
"Holy
or older people
crap.
say to you, right?
Ghosts."
Because
Yeah.
they have an influence on you while your brain's
Yeah.
developing, and you're gonna keep that memory, you're gonna keep that experience and what people tell you, and you're actually gonna believe it.
Yeah. And so I think like when I was younger with the older cameras, I think it was most likely a lot of them were dust and whatever. But
Yeah.
now with like the heat sensing cameras, whatever that they use for ghost hunting, I think when they actually pick up orbs on those, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
It's
mean, you
possible.
if you're gonna go down the orb route and really put all your faith per se into orbs, there's so
Yeah.
many factors you have to factor out. The orb has to move in such a way that's unnatural for someone who, you know, it's unnatural for a bug to move in that way because bugs create orbs, right? The light reflecting off a bug has been known to create orbs. Or is it simply just a dust orb? Or is it the way the camera flashed off a surface?
Or
Or
is
is
it
the
the way the
camera
camera?
dirty?
Yeah.
Or is there some sort of outside influence, like a car light coming through the window just ever so slightly past the curtains? Like, it's. If you're gonna go down orbs, I better see a checklist of like 20 things that you've already prepared and checked off before you actually call it a legitimate orb. So,
Yeah.
there's so many orbs out there, I bet you 1 in every 100 are actually legitimate. The rest are just some sort of camera phenomena
Camera
that
effect,
happens, a
probably.
camera effect that happens.
Or the
And yeah.
environment that they're taking the picture in, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, takeaway
Oops.
orbs, because definitely people are thinking that it's
Yeah.
very skeptical to think about that it is true, connecting to actual paranormal beings or paranormal individuals. But talking about different kinds of ghosts, such as yeah,
Poltergeists.
poltergeists in general. That's one I really
Yeah.
wanted to touch up on since we talked about
Yeah.
the regular ghosts, the individuals that just walk around. These poltergeists aren't actually captured on camera, I believe. They're not actually
No.
seen as beings. They're just
Poltergeists aren't usually
malevolent, right?
seen.
They're
They just kind of like
dickheads.
throw crap around. Yeah, they're just dicks.
They're like a
That's what a
shitty
poltergeist
10-year-old
is.
kid.
Yeah, they're
Like
just
Dennis the Menace. There
yeah,
you go.
exactly. That's a, yeah, that's a good
That's
comparison.
it.
Yeah,
It's all about
yeah.
the
They're just.
poltergeists.
If we were to just go along the road and just think
They
that
drive
ghosts
around
are
a lot.
real, and we think about poltergeists, what is their purpose? Or were they before they
They were
died
probably
just
just
dicks?
dicks.
Yeah, were they
Yeah.
just assholes and meant to make people be
Yeah.
scared? Is that what they get off on, or what?
Most likely. I
Yeah.
think so. I think that's what poltergeists do. They're just like, you know what? I'm gonna screw around with your life a little bit. Pushing
Yeah.
chairs over. Stuff like that.
But if I was a ghost, which I'm not, as you can see as I'm talking to you right now, but
Okay,
if
just for everyone, poltergeist is actually an old German word, in case
Oh
people
my
wonder where
God.
it comes from. And the polter part is to make noise, and the geist
Is
part
ghost.
is a ghost, right? A ghost that makes noises, right? So that's where it actually came from. So I guess you could trace it back to German
Germany.
culture, right? That's where they've dogmen or poltergeists are the first ones to name what it actually is.
Yeah.
The Germans have the best words for everything.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, poltergeist, well, is it a ghost? Is it a person? Or is it just a malevolent force? It's not, it was never a person.
It's just
It's just
something
an
that, yeah.
evil,
It's just
no good
weird.
spirit. It's some sort of negative energy from the universe. It's a, say for instance, it's a combination of 10 bad people's energies from the
Combine into
universe
one.
combined to this force that can't be defined as a human and just exists to cause hell in certain people's houses. Because, I mean, you see a lot of poltergeist stuff in people that themselves are going through tough situations, whether it be a divorced mother, a widowed father, mother, a family that is on hard financial times. Like, it seems to affect people more often that are going through tough times in their life. And it's like just adding to their shit list of things that has gone wrong, right? So there's an attraction to people that are experiencing bad things in their life.
People that are having a shitty time in life, like all the things you said, all those examples, it could be kind of related to that because if someone's already having a horrible life, these things are just going to keep adding to it. It's going to make them feel more and more depressed. But when they're already depressed because the things that aren't paranormal that are happening to them, let's say they lose their house, their major debt, family issues, anything like that. It could just that state of depression or that state of sadness could have an effect that subconsciously, right? It's messing with your mind. You can't get happiness because of the situation you're living in. So the
Just
only thing,
further sadness,
yeah,
right?
it's just going to keep continuing.
And maybe speaking of the projection theory, where you project your own reality, everything they've done that's crappy in their life, they've blamed on them, you know, their financial situation. They had a crap job and got fired, or they racked up their credit card, or they were a bad husband or bad mother. That's why they got divorced. And a poltergeist, one thing that's actually not their fault, that's making their universe, their environment bad to live in, and it's actually one thing that they haven't done wrong, that just it's just bad luck. So it's like, well, this is actually one thing that's happened to me I didn't do anything for. See, I'm not that bad after all, right? But maybe it's like the theory, it's like, people that are always in a crappy mood all the time and are always negative, bad stuff always happens to them. They suffer from bad health, or they're in debt, or they're always sick, or they always have trouble making friends because they live in such a negative environment. It's almost just easier to pick up negative things, where you find the people that are most happiest are the people that, have good health, that are happy, that have easy time making friends and things like that, because they've chosen to be happy or find small things in life to be happy. So maybe the fact that they're already in such a negative environment, they're just tracking further negative energy and manifesting it through the mind, right? Which we haven't studied yet, but that's just maybe a direction we'll see in the next 40, 50 years, the ability for the mind to project things that didn't normally seem that could be possible in today's day and age.
And you could kind of think of poltergeist almost as a positive way for those people that are depressed because they're blaming all these things that happen on themselves. They keep blaming on themselves everything that's gone wrong. And then when this poltergeist shows up and starts, making these noises, getting them scared, breaking plates, whatever the cause is, whatever the case is, they're giving them a reason to basically scapegoat their experiences to a different person, not a person, a different force that's not themselves. So it's almost
Entity.
kind of making them feel better because they know that they haven't done something wrong that one time, and maybe they believe to think that, oh, this ghost that I haven't really recognized until now actually has been all my problems. They're kind of scapegoating it so that they don't feel bad about themselves anymore.
And maybe that's the
Yeah.
mind's ability to mask
Yeah.
and to self-heal, right? The mind knows, like, hey, you got to get out of this rut.
Yeah.
Like, this is not healthy for you spiritually and physically. So we're gonna, the mind is creating something because the mind's so complex. I think we barely scratch the surface of it. The mind's so complex that it's finding a creative solution to help this person get out of it. And that's the mind's solution to mask it. Hey, everything that's going wrong in your life, we'll blame it on this rather than you, which it probably is you.
No.
Because you made some bad choices, right? But the mind wants you to get past that and get better. Maybe that's the mind's solution to that.
Yeah.
And maybe the mind, this is not a pun, has a mind of its own, right?
Yeah.
It's able to think and act when they know that the human controlling it isn't doing a good enough job. I'm like, hey, this is self-preservation. We got to get you past this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, very true. But then we're gonna tailspin into another direction about ghosts and spirits and things like that. What about exorcisms and demonic possession?
Yeah.
Real, not real? How is it real? How is it not real? Like,
I haven't
oof.
seen
That's.
true footage of an actual exorcism. I don't have.
I'd just like to say, everybody, when I was 10 years old, I was demonically possessed. That's why I was such a shitty child and kicked holes in my parents' wall.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
that
we'll
was
tell him that.
definitely it.
We'll tell him that anyways, yeah.
That was it. Sure.
No, yeah, like no, I haven't seen actual real footage. The only real footage they show is these is in movies or TV shows that they say is real, but it's a movie
Quotation
or
marks
TV show,
real.
right? It's you're not there. It's
Yeah.
not an, like eyewitness experiences. They may not be true to someone else just because someone else said they saw something, but until you as an individual see something with your eyes, with your perception, with your senses, you can't believe it. You think it's just a fabrication. But if I were to see someone possessed and doing all the things that I've seen them do in these quotation mark reality shows and ghost shows, I just
You
you
have to
really
be
can't
there.
explain it.
But I mean that's I think the point that I think we have to try to get away from that, and I've been bad for that, is like the whole theory of people saying, well, I have to be there to see it. Well, I mean, there's 7 billion people in the world. It's hard to be there every once in a while. You know, to see stuff like this happen, and a lot of skeptics tend to point in that direction. I wasn't there, I didn't see it with my own eyes. Well, I mean, sure, we'll show you with your own eyes eventually, but then there's, you know, 5 billion other skeptics in line behind you who want to see it. It's just not possible. So I mean, minus reality shows, the theory of it, is it possible?
Is it possible? I just don't have enough much evidence to make that claim. Personally speaking, I do think it's possible just because, let's say, if we're talking about consciousness, everyone's consciousness is connected somehow, and this demon or whatever possesses your body, maybe it changes, maybe your consciousness as an individual, that's totally out of there. Your consciousness goes somewhere else that we can't pinpoint at the moment,
Yeah.
and this other this possession of someone else, not specific human, a demon or anything, is actually taking over your body and making you do these things.
I mean, and unfortunately, the thing about the Catholic religion is they've been performing exorcisms for hundreds and hundreds of
Yeah.
years, but the science of psychology has only been around for 150, 200 years, and the brain's such a powerful thing. I feel that a lot of these things that they've defined as possession and exorcist is actually just undiagnosed mental disorders. I mean,
Actually, there's one actual quotation marks exorcism that the possessed person actually had a seizure disorder,
yeah,
okay,
and
that was making him go
so
out of control, right?
they decided that the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose or whatever was
Okay.
based on it. The priest was like, oh, we need an exorcism, demons. And so they did, and the girl ended up dying from the exorcism and also from the untreated
Yeah.
seizures and whatever. So,
I mean, and those
yeah,
people would be so easy to jump, yeah.
exorcism, I don't know. It's some cases, it definitely, Like, yes, this was mental or whatever, but I think some cases are legitimate.
Yeah.
'Cause like some of this stuff is still going on today. Like
Yeah.
a whole bunch of exorcisms and whatever, like
Yeah, I know what you're
yeah.
saying.
Crazy
Some
stuff,
can be
honestly.
explained. Some can be explained by scientific research, like you said,
Yeah.
mental illness or anything like that that's brought upon themselves.
Epilepsy,
Yeah,
yeah.
stuff like
Stuff like
that
that.
makes your body lose control and you don't have control anymore, which is the main case of what happens in these exorcism or these possessions. But other
Yeah.
stuff still can't be explained. I kind of feel it a little skeptic because most of the exorcism stories I've heard or possession stories I've heard happen, these people happen to be religious.
Yeah.
It's often linked to religion. So people who aren't religious don't tend to have these experiences because I don't know much about religion, but from what I know, if let's say you're a highly religious person and you believe in God and you believe in that, that means you have to believe in these evil spirits. So when you believe in those evil
Yeah.
spirits, it could just that thought of it could take over your mind and
Yeah.
give you a reason for what's actually happening to you.
No,
Yeah.
that's very true, right? But and then some people's point could be like, well, the people that are not religious don't seek the help they need. Maybe they are possessed in the fact that they have a tendency towards violence, or they get into fights on the weekends and beat people up, or they engage in, illicit drug activity, or they steal stuff and they're possessed, but they don't have the religion to deal with it, right? But another thing about exorcism, what you could think is that people in their lifetime do go through different mood changes, right? I can honestly say the person who I was at 13 is not the person who I'm at, at
Today,
23,
yeah.
right? I've gone through a different shape. I mean, I still have my base foundations of who I am characteristically. Like sometimes I make a lot of jokes or dick around and things like that and get people
Sometimes.
pissed
Riled
off, right?
up.
Like, because I think it's funny, but like there's a
Sometimes.
lot of different things that about my personality has changed. I have more ability to deal with stuff calmly. Like I don't jump to everything right away. I can sit around, listen to people. My beliefs on things have changed. So maybe it's an attitude change or a personality and change in someone that's just psychological that everyone goes through. Or maybe it's a serotonin dopamine deficiency in their brain that causes them to do this. Or maybe it's
Yeah.
the copycat thing, right? Poltergeists are so popular in our culture nowadays, and kids act out. There's hyperactive kids or kids
Yeah,
that are
these
just
people immediately
dicks.
jump to
There's kids that are
conclusions.
dicks,
Yeah.
and they're like, this is my way to be a dick, right? And then is there an actual checklist that a priest goes through before they perform an exorcism? Or like, this guy always been getting in trouble at school, beating kids up, biting his mother. Yeah, I think he might be possessed. They say, oh, Timmy never acted like that 2 years ago.
I think
Yeah.
that's what
Right.
priests do, honestly.
Maybe
They
it's
just
just bad
like
parenting.
you.
Right?
Like,
And
I don't
it's
know.
so dangerous to jump to the exorcist or the possession conclusion because, I mean, if you just have a priest solely seeing this person and not a healthcare professional and they
Yeah.
die, like in the case that Emily Murrow's, well, that person didn't get the help they actually needed, right? So, I mean, is there a spot for psychologist and priest to team up when they see this? Or, psychologists will never, I don't think they'll ever refer someone to a priest because if they can't beat something in their profession, well, a lot of times they'll tend to send them to the psychiatrist. Psychiatrists will use pharmaceutical drugs and essentially sedate the person for the rest of their life in the more extreme cases.
Yeah.
Or
Whereas
just
maybe
send
they
them to
do
an
need to,
asylum or
yeah.
whatever,
Right?
mental
So,
hospital.
and it's tough because there's
Yeah.
exorcism findings where people are speaking Latin, and I don't know a god freaking thing in Latin. And how these speak people speaking in tongues, did they research this
Yeah.
before they went under? Or their ability to so fluently recite it while they're under this possession? That's creepy in a sense
Yeah,
that like
that
how could
is.
someone who's 14 or how could someone who's 20 who's never read Latin, which is still an extremely
Language to
hard
learn.
language to learn.
As well as being a dead language. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody
How
teaches
do
it.
they have the
Nobody
ability just
learns
to
it.
like recite it?
Yeah.
And like in a different tone in their vocal cords and things like that that they've recorded on tape, like
Yeah, like what
Yeah,
but like
some
with
of
all
that
these
stuff's
yeah,
really
with all
creepy.
these possession stories and these exorcism stories, you don't ever get a background story of what happened years before these paranormal explanation or these paranormal activities that no one can explain they only give you a backstory of maybe a couple weeks before how the person was doing, and they don't give you the whole history of how the person was before the fact.
That's true. And I want to roll with your theory about the consciousness realm and the energy realm. Maybe consciousness is not a fair accurate representation, but the realm in which all of our individualness would go to when we die, right? Because clearly we're pulling from something we don't understand. We haven't been able to actually identify what consciousness is. I think that's still in the top 10 scientific things they need to discover
They
because
still
they
don't
have
know
no
what
idea.
part, yeah, they still haven't found the part of the brain where consciousness arrives from.
Maybe our personalities and maybe who we are is drawn from essentially the analogy of the iCloud server, right? You pull from it when you're born. That's you now have
Yeah.
yourself because you're pulling from this thing that exists in a cloud format, and that's your personality. So maybe demonic possession is, and a malevolent person or malevolent consciousness invading your body
Yeah,
that's
something
easily
else that just
susceptible.
kind of
Yeah.
kicks your own
Like the
consciousness
movie
out.
The Exorcist, which is based on a real story, apparently the person was dwelling in Ouija stuff before, and the aunt of that person was exposing them to this mysticism realm and making this person so susceptible at 12, 13 years old that allowed the door to be open for them to accept a version of negative consciousness, right? Some negative previous person in time and space said, oh, this is a good vessel for me to be in because maybe that's how consciousness works. The previous person picks the vessel to be put into. When we're born, we're actually someone else's spirit, right? Maybe that's what the case of consciousness is. You open the door, you invite something else to come in. But as for like floating around ghosts and stuff like that, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there is some anomalies out there, some really extreme anomalies. I think there was a Scottish boy who was 12 years old. Maybe he was 10, but his parents said he accurately described a previous experience of one of his of someone he had never met before who had died 8 years, 6 years ago, and said, "Hey, I lived here. I met this person, Marianne. I met them here," and they actually went back and like, "Holy crap! This is a guy who lived before. He wasn't famous, but this kid knows everything about this person. It's like he's an old spirit." I mean, I hear that sometimes about people. They're like, "That person's just an old spirit. Like they're way beyond their years and things like that." So maybe
Yeah.
consciousness picks people who
So
they
that can
seem
be
fit.
like a deja vu theory too,
Yeah.
like why we experience deja vu.
Just a really quick jump back to exorcism, though. You notice how most of these stories happen to people who haven't had their brain development yet. Their brain
Like
isn't fully
children.
development. Yeah, most of them are children, teenagers. People haven't reached the full brain development as an adult would. Just because if you think of these demons as real people, maybe that brain development, since it hasn't fully development and your consciousness isn't fully in your physical body, that gives them a chance to
Yeah,
kick that other person out and.
they haven't developed the armor they need to fight
Yeah.
off
Yeah.
stuff, right? They haven't
Yeah.
developed the brain immune system, right?
Like in Insidious with the kid getting possessed, like astral projection or whatever.
Yeah.
They actually say in the movie, like, he left the door open, so now the demons are trying to, don't quote me,
Yeah,
the demons are trying to possess him or
no, I hear
whatever.
what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you guys think about astral projection?
Like, is it ghost related or
Yeah.
whatever?
Yeah. Like, can people astral project? Is it real?
Well,
Is it, are you entering a spirit world and like being able to zoom around
don't
and
know, like.
personally experiencing, I didn't hear shit about astral projection before the movie Insidious came out. I had no clue what
I
that
had
meant.
heard
And
about it, like the lucid dreaming astral
oh, lucid
projection
dreaming,
thing.
but
I've
astral
definitely heard about it.
projection, from my understanding, is something the CIA. No, that's remote viewing. Sorry,
Yeah.
remote viewing is where you can see a facility thousands of miles away through getting
Yeah.
yourself out there and drawing pictures. And
But
like
astral
astral projection
projection.
is being able to leave the body
Yeah.
when it's in sleep,
Yeah.
right?
And go
Essentially.
into a different sort of world,
Yeah.
right? With other ghosts, demons,
Well,
whatever
I've
possesses
read
them.
stuff on the internet about how if you try lucid dreaming and you do it incorrectly, you can actually end up astral projecting and you can get like really messed up and like
You go
something
into a
about you
coma,
can't
like that
find your
happened.
body, like you
Yeah.
can't find your body again or whatever.
I mean, when I.
And stuff about like shadow walkers or something,
Yeah.
like
I've
you'll
heard
just
about that
see
briefly.
shapes of people and they try to take over your body. It's really
Yeah, well,
creepy.
that
And
is.
I tried lucid dreaming one time and I got so freaked out. I was like, nope.
Mean, I don't even
Never
try to
again.
lucid dream. Well, maybe I have tried it, but I don't consciously try it. Like, the tips that I've learned is make sure that throughout the day you're able to identify reality. So draw a dot in your hand or look at something that's physical and just briefly glance and like, okay, I know I'm in the real world, come
Or be
back, right?
like,
And then it just becomes so much of a habit that when you're in your dream state that you check your hand like you did in the middle of the day, and then you look around you and you notice things are different. So then that makes your brain
or you like
realize that you're in a
say
dream.
your you like say the time and where you are out
Yeah.
loud or whatever. Like Will Graham does it in Hannibal.
Like,
That's
no, like
that was the first thing that came to my mind when you said
from a
that.
personal experience, I have lucid dreamed many times. I have at like 3 or 4 times I've actually known that I'm in a dream and you can control it. It is a real thing to do. It's definitely real. It is shown scientific studies. It is a real thing to do. I've
I
never really
tried it one
seen
time and I
ghosts.
lost control of it.
I've never really seen ghosts of it.
Wasn't
Yeah, when I
good.
tried the first time and I noticed that I'm in a dream, you get really stoked. You're jacked that you're in a dream. You can do anything. As soon as
And
you
then
do
I
that,
lost control of
yeah,
it
you get lost
completely.
control, and then you
And
forget
it just
you're in
turned
a
into like
dream.
the one of the worst nightmares I've ever
Yeah,
had,
yeah.
actually.
Yeah. I mean,
Like,
yeah,
God.
lucid dreaming, like, I don't know, I find the key to lucid dreaming for me is I take a shitload of fish oils during the day, like omega-3s. They help for brain function and things like that. And I
Nice.
find that when I have like a fish oil before I go to bed, holy crap, is it on.
You're
And
like,
for me,
yo.
lucid dreaming has actually helped for like a nightmare situation, because there was this one experience where I was sitting in my bed and I felt the bed start to vibrate. Not lifting off the ground, but it was like a low hum, and I could feel it shaking, and I could feel my hands. And I saw this being at the edge of my bed, and it kind of popped its head up and it came down. I don't want to say alien, because I actually didn't get a good enough look, but it was tall enough that it could be seen over the edge of the bed, and it popped down, and I thought, holy shit. And this thing crawls across my bed
Oh, God.
and grabs my finger, and I felt the same sensation. I can tell you in real life, it was like in a dream, you know, if you get stabbed, you don't feel like, oh my gut. You just like, oh, I got stabbed.
Yeah.
But I actually felt the sensation of something grabbing my physical finger. And because I knew I was,
That's so damn
I don't know if I
creepy.
knew I was in a dream, but I knew I was somewhere where I couldn't control, because I didn't have full control of my body. Like it was frozen. I actually forced myself awake, and I was consciously focused on, okay, make my toes move, make my legs move. And through doing that, I actually pulled myself awake, and, you know, there's nothing in my room or anything like that. So, I mean, lucid dreaming has helped me a lot of times be able to realize, okay, I'm in a dream, right? And I think it, you know, I've had times where I've stopped breathing in dreams and I'm frozen in bed, and I'm able to go, okay, you need to wake up, you need to wake up. And I wake myself up, and maybe I was suffering from sleep apnea or something like that. But I think lucid dreaming for me has been a positive tool.
Yeah, and
And it's quantifiable. Science has said, yeah, it's just your imagination. You just have to recognize that you're dreaming. It's not pseudoscience. It's actually real. Once people know they're dreaming, yeah.
Yeah, whoever knows, in the future we might have a podcast about lucid dreaming, about dreams in general, anything like that. But I just want to say thanks for listening today, guys. Thanks for listening to us shoot the shit. Hopefully you got a mind quake, and yeah, take care.